Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions released a directive last week announcing a rollback of the Obama administration's lenient smart-on-crime sentencing. Critics say the rollback penalizes minor drug offenders and will overcrowd prisons. Actually, according to the Stream report by former Arizona Assistant Attorney General Rachel Alexander, the policy will bring harsher and appropriate prosecutions to violent drug offenders, not the peaceful ones. Peaceful drug offenders, well, I guess you would say people who have possession of drugs, very seldom go in just for that. Unfortunately, well, we'll talk to our guest. Hello, Rachel Alexander. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's good to have you on. But aren't we in the case, though, where if you have numerous possession charges, that can haunt you? If you have like three or four charges of possession, isn't that going to get you for having a long rap sheet?
No, not really. In fact, here in Arizona, one of my prosecutor friends who used to prosecute a lot of crimes that involved drugs, he went through and said, you know, your first pot possession, nothing happens. Your second pot possession, you know, it's you're not incarcerated. Your third, you know, time you get caught with pot, you're still not incarcerated. Like, you can literally get caught like three, four, five times.
And this is Arizona.
Huh?
This is Arizona you're talking about?
Yeah, this is Arizona, and that's just, you know, possession. I mean, in my article, I go into selling drugs. I go into the harder core drugs. I mean, I was also a prosecutor with the deputy with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, and
ooh,
I saw hundreds, if not thousands, of case files
in the 5 years
I was there. And any time somebody, you know, was serving time, it was always for something else, not actually drug dealing.
A non-drug crime. But
right.
Of course, you're
like,
in the belly of the beast.
Repeat offender sentence. You're going to go to prison for 2 years because, you know, you did this final repeat felony offense of robbery, but then they let them plead down to like a lower offense. You had drugs on you, so we'll let you just plead down to this drug offense instead.
No, I understand the priorities, especially in the belly of the beast, Maricopa County. But I will say this. I mean, back in the 80s, I know they were real harsh on crack. And crack was the inner-city ghetto drug, whereas powder cocaine was more the upscale and, I should say, whiter drug, I mean, meaning white people, with money. I mean, you'd read stories about one of the Kennedy grandkids driving into the city to get some cocaine or something. But we really dealt with crack in a harsher way, didn't we, than powder cocaine?
We did, and, you know, I think, again, though, it goes back to the point, these weren't people who were just smoking crack cocaine, dealing crack cocaine. These were people who were also committing violent acts. Now, it is unfair. You shouldn't put, you know, black people behind jail longer because they're violent versus white people, you know, get a lower sentence because they're
selling the powder,
violent.
Right. Well, they might sell the powder at the disco or, you know, at somebody's pool party. You know, or
but
just,
no one gets busted for just selling powder. It just doesn't
well,
happen.
Well, obviously. But what about selling crack? I mean, not everybody was violent. If you sold crack in the 80s, you got in big-time trouble.
Yeah, because violence always accompanies that type of drug activity. That's the correlation I noticed in virtually, you know, every drug crime that I saw. There was always a violent component. And so when they say this is, you know, peaceful drug offenders, low-level drug violence.
I see.
It's a lie. That's a contradiction.
Right.
If you were a peaceful drug dealer, you're not going to do
that. Well, if a Hollywood producer sells powder cocaine to another actor, I mean, very seldom is violence, I'm sure, yeah. But I know what you're saying. And aren't there two kinds of drug crime? Turf crime, meaning the addict who wants the fix and will beat you up to get your wallet to buy the drug, or... I'm sorry, that's addict crime. Turf crime is where the kingpin or the dealer controls his turf. So if you compete with him on his turf, you get shot. Isn't that what
right.
it is?
And there's also, you know, the drug dealer who comes after his junkie because he hasn't paid up. And,
well, that's true, yeah.
Rough.
Well, I would call that turf, too, because the crime is not motivated by an addiction. It's motivated by business. So... I always wondered if you took turf crime and attic crime away, meaning that you could have the person go to the practitioner and get the clinic to give them whatever they want as they wean them off. What happens to the drug dealer? What happens to the profit?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, with all this legalization of marijuana going on around the country now, you know, we're going to see the truth finally come out. And, you know, these people are not going to be able to use their you know, old cliche, peaceful drug dealers anymore, because it'll all be legalized. And so, guess what? The crime isn't going to stop.
No, but how did we do during Prohibition? There was a little crime then, wasn't there, Rachel? I mean, judges were bought, politicians, mayors were bought. I mean, it was...
Well, you know, I think there is an argument for the legalization of drugs because it's true, they're not terribly
well,
different
from
alcohol.
Well, there's profit.
Yeah, and when the people need their opiate, I mean, you know, maybe it's kind of a Republican compromise that we've come up with where, you know, we get alcohol, but we don't get drugs. I mean, I don't have the answers to everything, but I do know that if people could just do drugs and not do crime, that might be a better situation, but it's not really.
Well, they do crime because it's illegal. That's why it's criminal, because it's illegal. I mean, drugs are illegal. That's why there's crime. Am I missing something here?
Yeah, because nobody really pays attention to you if you do drugs, though. It's like illegal immigration. People just ignore it.
Well, the fact that it's illegal makes it profitable. The price goes up because it's illegal.
We have medical marijuana here in Arizona now, and, you know, it's not terribly ripping into the profits too much. I mean, people here in... the drug dealers are still doing great, even though we've got it legalized as well.
Well, I talked to some undercover cops in my career in journalism, and they would always say that, I mean, the actual cost of a lot of drugs is like nothing. It's like 40 cents.
Right.
It's illegal because it's expensive because it's illegal. It's like a ticket to a ball game, Rachel. If the game is sold out and I have tickets, I have a valuable ticket. So I could sell it for $200 because it's a sellout. Now, if you have 30,000 empty seats, that ticket's not worth very much.
Yeah, I mean, I see the point, but I think because people turn the other way like they do with illegal immigration, that it's not the wild profits that, you know, you'd think there would be. Because nobody cares, you know. There's drug dealers, you know, around where I live, just they hang out blatantly in the streets.
Oh, I know. If they couldn't make money, they wouldn't do it. Let's face it. I mean, if they couldn't make any money, they wouldn't do it. But I understand.
I don't see the income changing much if we legalize these drugs.
What I'm saying is you just would decriminalize the point where the addict could be weaned off. And you'd take the profit away, so there'd be the dealer would have to go to something else. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But.
Well, I do know they just came out with a study that showed that so many people now are being arrested for drug driving that they now cause more damage than drunk drivers do.
Oh, really?
I don't believe that.
Well, I've heard I don't believe that in marijuana, because my roommate in college was always stoned. He was always paranoid. Paranoid people are much better drivers than drunks, believe me. Alcohol is I don't even do drugs, and I'm a nerd compared to my old friends. But the point of it is, this drug war has been going on forever, and the opioid crisis we have now. What's is that from prescriptions, Rachel, or what?
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, that's a big part of it. Although you've got these. You've got something that's pushing it also, which is that doctors are getting increasingly afraid to prescribe these prescription drugs for pain. And so you've got these patients who are just in desperate pain doing everything they can to still get the pain medicine. You know, 20 years ago, it was really easy to get oxycodone. Now it's next to impossible.
Oh,
and, you know, there's a lot of sick people, a lot of elderly, older people who are in pain who really need that stuff.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what Rush did. He sent his housekeeper to the gas station to get some more. Remember that?
I know. I have sympathy for these people.
No, I do,
you know,
too. My mother, with back surgery, she was screaming for her big-time painkiller, but she could only have one every so many hours because she would have been addicted. And, you know, that's what happened to Elvis. That's what these rich people like Prince. I mean, they're doctor feel-good doctors give them all this stuff, and then they die.
Stuff's dangerous.
I mean, Prince didn't even drink.
Yeah, well, and that's the sad thing, you know, because some people overdo it, you know, they limit it for the real people in genuine need.
Exactly. I mean, the headliner in Vegas, Danny Gantz, he headlined at the Mirage, 53 years old, had back pain and had a toxic reaction to his painkiller and died in his sleep.
Aww.
You know, but I'm sure the average Joe or Jane can't get the kind of dosages and supplies that they could get. That's what happens. So you finally make it big.
But there's got to be some kind of a reasonable compromise because, I mean, to me it seems ridiculous. You can get pot easier than you can get oxycodone,
hey,
really?
Rachel, because I think you're very religious, I understand. But when I was in high school, man, there was pot at every party I went. I'm in Indiana in the late 70s, early 80s. There was pot at every party. Every party. You know, we're not talking about rich kids in L.A. We're talking about kids in Indiana. And there was you could get stoned and you could take a toke at every single party I ever attended. But I was such
I know my boyfriend's roommate in his college dorm in college had marijuana plants in their dorm room.
Really?
He just sort of had them blend in with all the other plants in there.
Well, you'd be better off with that than whiskey and vodka, in my opinion, but that's beside the point. But
I mean, and there is an argument there, but, you know, that it's really not that much different than alcohol. My point is that, you know, people really aren't getting put in
jail for possession.
Yeah,
I know.
Not even for the drug.
We're getting into the deeper issues here. I understand, but
and I'm a conservative libertarian myself. Like I have always, you know, leaned that way, and I fell into prosecution on accident. But you know, just having my eyes opened, and then I see all these other, you know, conservative libertarians out there saying we got to stop the drug war, and I'm like, really? There is no drug war, and there definitely is no drug war right now in our legal system. It is the opposite.
What do you mean there's no drug war?
Yeah, there is.
There's not, because no one's going to try to put you behind bars for
possession.
Drugs.
But my point is, the issue for me, and I understand what you're saying about possession, but profit. How do you get rid of the profit? And my point is, the drug war produces profit. Otherwise, nobody would pay the kind of money. If they go down to the clinic and get it for 40 cents, they wouldn't pay the big money.
Not everybody qualifies for the medical cards is also why you don't see that where it's saying, you know, you have medical marijuana, but that doesn't mean that everybody's going to go to the dispensary to get it.
My point is, how can the kingpin make big money if there is no money to be made? That's my point. I'm talking profit.
But if you put it all in the free market, I mean, it's still going to be competition. I mean, you're still going to be able to make some money. I mean, maybe you won't make as much, but, you know, whenever they decriminalize something, there's still a market.
Well, if it was free, it was free on the corner. If I'm offering it at the clinic for free, why would somebody be able to make money off it somewhere else? That's my point.
Well, but the clinics here in Arizona aren't offering it for free. I mean, you have to pay for it. And the thing let's say it's all legalized, okay? That doesn't stop the violence because...
Well, you wouldn't be able to get it unless you were an addict, unless you... could wean off. My point is, I'm just trying to get rid of the profit out. There's addict crime and there's turf crime, and as long as we have illegal, we're going to have profit. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's to some extent you're going to lessen the profit if you legalize it, but again, I just don't think that's the problem.
But
the problem
is saying,
the violence. How do you de-link the violence from the drug use?
I understand what you're saying, but to me there's violence because there's an economic force involved. It's an economic decision people are making. They're selling drugs. They can make money selling drugs. I mean, when I was a reporter, Rachel, 20 years ago, we had a very bad part of Madison. It's called Simpson Street. They've since changed the name for marketing factors. But you would have there was no grocery store within 5 miles. So you'd get food stamps for how many, you know, you get so many food stamps for the month or whatever it is, and because people would go across the street to the convenience store and buy food, it was a lot more money. And so by the third week of the month, they were out of food stamps. And so the 14-year-old son would go sell drugs to buy food. I mean, we did stories on it because, you know, and we were trying to arrange to put people on a bus and take them to the grocery store and all this kind of stuff. But it's an economic issue. People can make money selling them. Now, if they could make money selling hammers, maybe they'd sell hammers. You know, that's my point.
And but is the profit aspect such an evil thing? You know, if these illegal drug dealers are making money, is it really the end of the world? I mean, I look at it, you're going to replace the violence,
one type
of violence with another type of violence. You're going to replace the, when it's illegal, you got people robbing things in order to get money to buy drugs, right?
Right.
But then when it becomes legal and the profit goes down, you're going to have fewer people robbing and committing burglary because the price will have gotten cheaper. So that's good, but on the other hand, you're going to have more people high. And if you have more people high, there's going to be more violence in the sense that you're going to have, you know, car accidents and...
I know what you mean. I never really bought into that because in England you can get it pretty easily. And you know, but I know what you're saying. I mean, I just... When Bugsy Moran and Al Capone, of course, that got Al Capone on tax evasion, but that whole machine gun shoot-em-up thing ended when they legalized beer in 1933. I mean, a lot of that stuff went away, Rachel.
Well, there's a little bit of an argument there. I agree. I just don't know. And again, I mean, we're debating whether we should legalize drugs or not, and that's not even what my article is about.
I want to make it available and make it cheaper. So you take the price out. But I know what you're saying. Mike, on your, let's play on your turf now. What if somebody goes to jail for, I'm assuming you're for longer sentences for the violent drug dealers, of course, right?
Well, if there's violence involved, yes.
Well, so you put them away for 10 years, 15 years, I mean, whatever the case, long term.
Because the recidivism rate is 77%. That's really bad.
Right.
That means
they're
getting out and they're going to harm somebody else with a violent crime.
Well, I'd start with gun crime, but you know, I think you're onto something. But then what do they do when they get out? I mean, they get out in 10 years.
I mean, you mean in terms of rehabilitation or in terms of what kind of crime are they going to commit?
Well, when they get out in 10 years, they're not going to go work for IBM. They're not going to work for CUNA. And they're going to go back and do it again, aren't they?
That's right. And, you know, they're talking in several states of getting rid of even having to disclose on your job application that you have a felony. Two counties in Arizona, I heard, just did it. So, you know, they're trying to help rehabilitate these guys, but, you know, they're not doing a very good job if the recidivism rate is that high.
No, I understand. I would only say this. I was always a guy who was at parties where you could get marijuana. And as I got older and was working and out of college, I could always get cocaine if I wanted. But I never wanted it. I was too much of a nerd. I burned my hand on the pipe. I didn't want it. You could put a bunch of cocaine right in front of me. I wouldn't use it. So this whole thing about it, we'd have more people inebriated. I never really bought into that. We have a lot of nerds in this country, Rachel. They're not going to do it. There was a dog track they built in Kokona, Wisconsin. And it was a big fight to get this dog track. It was folded a year later, because Wisconsin people don't want to spend their hard-earned money on the dog track. They want to have fish on Friday night, maybe have a cottage up north. They don't want to blow their money on the dog track. And most people wouldn't blow their money on cocaine, that's my belief.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you my reason for never doing drugs is because there's drugs like methamphetamine where they say if you try it once, you have a 90% chance you will be addicted.
Addicted, right. And heroin, too. But, I mean, I would never do that. I mean, I just, you know, again, most people are just live boring lives and don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, I just don't have much more.
Not everybody wants to do crack.
Not everybody wants to do it. But we'll come back. I'm going to ask you about Seth Rich. Is that okay if I ask about Seth Rich?
Oh, yeah, sure. I just got done writing about him.
Wonderful. That's why you're a great guest of the Mitch Henk Show on MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson Funeral
Home. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
You can sell some. We're back. And Rachel Alexander from the stream. How long has the stream been running, Rachel?
A little over 2 years. We launched end of January 2015.
And the mission is what?
It's essentially a conservative site to champion values of liberty, free markets, minimal government, Judeo-Christian values. And we're still trying to get into Google News. if you don't know who we are, that's probably why. They don't like to let conservative sites in very well.
Really? Boy, that's amazing. Is Trump going to... Now, I've got friends who, of course, blame the media for lying about Trump and all this. But there is a certain amount of knowing Washington, how Washington works. The president's going to have to do a learning course on that, don't you think? I mean, he feeds the beast with tweets and feeds the beast with comments. I mean, if you want to talk about tax reform and health care, maybe you should tweet about that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he tends to be, in my opinion, kind of an emotional guy. he lets it get under his skin. I mean, I now do a weekly live show on the stream's Facebook page about fake news every week, and that's largely in part due to him making it such a theme. But, he just gets so upset at the media. And, you know, I only get upset at the media when my boyfriend makes me listen to NPR in the car. Okay.
That can be tough.
Then I'll get irritated because it's right there. I can't escape it. But, you know, he's distant enough from the media. I think he should just be a little more chill about it.
Yeah, your boyfriend a little left of center, is he?
No, he's actually right of center, so I don't understand how he can listen to it. I think he grew up listening to it, so he's used to it, but I just get mad and I start almost yelling back at it in the car.
I can understand. Here's my question about Robert Mueller being named special counsel. You think he'll limit it to the Trump-Russia collusion investigation, or will he bring in Hillary or bring in Seth Rich or bring in other stuff?
I don't know, but that's a good question. It would make sense, especially since, you know, you've got a lot of people calling for an investigation into Seth Rich at this point.
I don't know
where his loyalties lie. I mean, if they're bringing him in, he's probably, you know, not going to be anti-Trump, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, Seth Rich, the guy that was shot in July of 2016, I guess. It was the data analyst for the DNC. It was looking at the California primary stuff. Two Stanford studies were questioning the vote count theory. Bernie lost by 17 points, by the way, in California, which was shocking in my mind. But anyway, still, I think there'll be a movie about that someday. But they didn't take his wallet, Rachel. They didn't take his watch or his phone. And the police are, or somebody's holding onto his computer. So what's going on there? And, of course, the report is that the cops were told to stand down.
Yeah, yeah. This latest news that's just broke a couple days ago is that an investigator inside the federal government, who is Fox News Trust, spoke on condition of anonymity and said he'd actually seen the computer, the laptop, the investigation, and that there were 44,000 emails that this young man had sent to WikiLeaks.
Yeah, right. And really?
After he sent them to WikiLeaks, apparently 12 days later, he sends them to WikiLeaks, and then he's murdered. And 12 days after he's murdered, WikiLeaks releases all the DNC emails.
Right, and of course, Julian Assange put out $20,000 reward for his killer, too.
Yeah, like Julian Assange has not denied, he hasn't admitted, but he hasn't denied that he was the leaker. And everything points to this guy being the leaker. I mean, there are just so many suspicious things and too many coincidences. But, you know, I just did the Sean Hannity radio show today, and Sean's convinced that it's him. This is DNC leaker.
Well, but it's been ignored by the mainstream press for a year, and now it's suddenly getting some coverage on the network.
Well, sort of. I don't even know if you're as updated as this morning. I am, because I was going to do Sean's show. The mainstream media is trying to say that Fox released this, you know, fake story.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. There's pushback on that. But, yeah, but what do you mean fake? They didn't take his wallet! Why was he shot at 4 in the morning?
And he was a super nice watch, I hear, like worth $500.
Take his watch. I mean, what do you mean fake? I mean, what is it, a robbery or not? It wasn't a robbery. I mean,
what they're trying to say is they're trying to pick at little things. They're trying to say, well, the family's investigator, it made it seem like.
Oh, I understand. Okay. No, and that'll happen. And that will happen. I understand that. I know how that works. And that'll happen. It's not going to stop.
If we're right and he really is the leaker, you know, we're going to probably find out because, okay, Julian Assange can.
Bernie got screwed in California. Bernie got screwed in California. How about that for a headline? I don't think he lost by 7. Do you think Bernie
people would care? But I've only found one Democrat so far who's speaking out on this.
Do you think Bernie lost by 17 points to Hillary in California? He had all the big crowds. I mean, he had the kids. I mean, it made no sense to me. But
yeah, the Democrats were corrupt in what they did, setting it up for Hillary to win. And this kid, you know, was some idealistic young, you know, 27-year-old. And it sounded like, from what everyone said, he just wanted to set the record
straight. Yeah, I understand.
And
he's dead. It makes me mad. Hey, Rachel, thank you very much for the time. And what's the website people can go to for more stuff?
Go to stream.org.
Stream.org. Okay. Thank you
Thanks
very
for
much.
Having me on, guys.
Hey, appreciate it. Take care. I'm not really pro drug. I'm just against profits. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Jim Fetzer, who's not drugged up or drunk, or as far as I know, he's not been freebasing. I can say that for the record, right, Jim?
Yeah, you got it.
He's in for the final. And he's a conspiracy guy. And this Seth Rich thing, I think it's just the greatest story that was ignored. We'll come back with more. And also Trump and the FBI director now, former FBI director, it's a special counsel on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How do you differ from those firms that do commercials where they brag about winning a $1 million settlement?
We've all seen the commercials on TV where attorneys are bragging about multi-$1 million settlements. That can be somewhat misleading. Achieving a $1 million settlement doesn't necessarily mean that there was great legal work done. You could have a $2 million case. And you could have a lawyer who settles it prematurely for $1 million. Well, they got a $1 million result, but that doesn't necessarily mean high-quality legal work was done. We get the vast majority of our cases through referrals from former clients and predominantly from other lawyers in the community who send us their clients to ask if we can help them with their personal injury cases.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. The all-new Mitch Hank Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pasta Mateo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
I just want to say we're embracing the podcasting world here. MadisonTalks.com. Go to your, just MadisonTalks.com. These big fat red buttons. Live Madison Talks podcasts and Mitch Hank podcasts. So all our shows, my shows, and the shows of other podcasters are on there. And some great stuff. Kaleem Kerr and Reverend Alex G and Tommy Thompson and expert on parenting, all kinds of stuff. And you can do a podcast too. You got a book to sell, a cause to champion. And you got professional engineers right here in the studio. And we can post your podcast on our website, madisontalks.com. And call me up. We'll talk turkey on that. Email Mitch at MitchHank.com and we'll discuss it. Jim Fetzer is here, the conspiracy guy. And there's a lot of conspiracies to talk about, Jim.
Yeah, and like Michael Moore, when asked, did he believe in conspiracy theories, replied, only those that are true. There are a lot of them out here right now, Mitch. And Rachel was wonderful. Seth Rich was the source. He was a DNC IT guy. He became disillusioned over the sabotaging of Bernie Sanders' campaign. He gave his treasure trove to Craig Murray, who was a UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, intel analyst, head of a college, friend of Julian Assange, who proceeded to publish them. His murder was clear retaliation. In fact, there are quite a few deaths associated with the DNC emails and all that. Both Assange and Murray have asserted that they know the leaker and he was not Russian. Russia had nothing to do with it. And as she observed, or you, actually, Julian has offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever was responsible for his death. But get this.
There's more.
Yeah. Assange's attorney, who is one of Britain's top human rights lawyers, died in front of a subway in London. Oh. He was only 48 years old. He had a couple of kids. He was very successful, the best, a renowned attorney. It's absurd to think what article suggests he committed suicide.
But in front of a subway?
If you're going to commit suicide, you're not going to get in front of a subway,
Mitch. In a small way, I was in the game where the Las Vegas played the Badgers 10 years ago, and they turned the lights off because an official bet isn't granted until the game is 55 minutes long, and at 52:30 they turned the lights off, and so the bets were canceled, and I knew in my bones it was a fix. And on the bus, I never thought of that. People just don't think of that. But we both knew that Seth Rich was murdered.
Yes.
And his lawyer was murdered.
Yes.
I mean, we're not idiots. We were dropped off a turnip truck. Were you people dropped off a turnip truck? Does Seth Rich's lawyer jump in front of a subway in London? I don't think so. Why would Julian Assange put a $20,000 reward out for his killer? Does he do that for every robbery victim in Washington, D.C.?
And the story doesn't end there. Sean Lucas actually served the DNC with a class action lawsuit on behalf of Bernie Sanders supporters. He winds up dead. His wife comes home and finds him lying on the bathroom. It's his girlfriend when she returned home on the evening of 2 August 2016. There was an earlier death. This guy, on June 22nd, former UN official John Ash accidentally crushed his own throat and died a week before he was scheduled to testify against Bill and Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm telling you.
He crushed his own throat?
This is completely disgusting, but you see, Hillary plays hardball. Well, now, the point about Seth Rich is impeccable, and it's complemented by the fact that we have a new book reporting how John Podesta and Robbie Mook made up the Russian hacking meme within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech.
Well, but she never used the concession speech, but the day after.
No, she did. Right. Day after.
Well, I will say this, but Comey testified that they've been investigating since July of 2016, the, quote, Russian collusion investigation.
Yeah, but get this, what they're leaving out, Mitch, is that on the 23rd of January, the Washington Post published that the FBI had cleared. Here it is. FBI reviewed Flynn's calls with the Russian ambassador but found nothing illicit on 23 January in the Washington Post.
The Post wrote then.
Yeah, would you think that New York Times doesn't read the Washington Post or isn't aware of the same information? I mean, no wonder Trump would say to him.
The calls with the ambassador, nothing illicit, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable if Trump say, isn't it about time to close this thing? Nothing improper with that. Yet you have all this talk about impeachment.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
The obstruction is if you say you must end this. That's obstruction, and there's no proof.
Well, I don't think he did. And, you know, who knows how accurate. I assume Comey, who I think is by and large a good guy, but the fact is when he did his July 5th, rundown of the dirty laundry of Hillary Clinton, and then concluded after giving an excellent inventory of reasons for her prosecution that no reasonable prosecutor would pursue it is simply absurd.
Yeah, negligence doesn't require intent.
And look at this today on the New York Times, Mitch. We got one story. Trump appealed to Comey to halt inquiry of Flynn. Ex-FBI chief noted request in memo, I hope you can let this go. Ignoring the fact that the Washington Post had reported the FBI had already cleared him. Calls mount to hear more from Comey. Secrets president paired to Russia.
No, Jim, I mean, obstruction, I hope you let this go, is not obstruction. I mean, Andy McCabe testified, the deputy FBI director testified under oath to Congress that the investigation continues. Nothing changes. Comey wasn't doing the grunt work on the investigation. He's the director of the FBI.
Right.
I mean, give me a break. Nothing changes there.
Let me say that the appointment of Robert Mueller is perfect. He's a man of exemplary character. I have no doubts about his integrity. He is tenacious. He's apolitical. He's going to do it. He's going to discover the whole Russian meme was made up by John Podesta and Robbie Mook. Unbelievable.
They had to make it up before the concession because Comey said they're doing it since July, Jim. The investigation into Russian collusion, Comey testified they were doing it since July.
Well, but what would be the possible basis for that, Mitch? I mean, it's just ridiculous. There was no collusion.
You tell me. I mean,
There was no Russian interference in our election. There was no Russian hacking. This was all made up. We know the voting machines are independent of the internet. Russia couldn't have had access. The only ones were those who were owners of them and managing them, who are tied in with the Republican establishment, which was opposed to Trump.
Well, there's always the 17 intelligence agencies.
Well, it was untrue. The 17 didn't. It was only ever three. It was the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. The others had nothing to do with it.
The rest have jumped on the bandwagon, right?
It's just false. Yeah, it's just a fabricated claim.
Our buddy Rolf said, I don't think the Coast Guard did its independent investigation. They jumped on the bandwagon.
Rolf made a great point today. He said, in the past, it's been the press that's been holding the feet to the fire of the government. Now, today, it's the government holding the feet to the fire of the press because they've gone bananas.
So is Mueller going to? Is Mueller going to look into Seth Rich and Hillary, or is he going to?
Oh, sure. I'm sure he will. Because that is the source of the leaks.
What about Rand Paul? Rand Paul thinks they were surveilling him.
That's right. He and another senator. You had Judge Napolitano reporting that Antonin Scalia, I believe the Supreme Court, was under surveillance. Turns out that Obama was seeking intelligence on thousands of Americans during the 2016
according
campaign.
According to what source?
Circa. During his final years in office, President Obama's team significantly expanded efforts to search national security.
Gotta prove it, Jim. Gotta prove it. You know that, right?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm reporting what's being reported here, but criticizing it against the background of my prior knowledge. And we have lots of indications of Obama being a big spy-in-chief. He was unbelievable.
Spy-in-chief. Well, you got to prove it,
He was doing all this stuff. I think with Mueller, you have the opportunity to prove all of this.
We need more than Circa. I just wish I were thin as Obama. He's my age. The guy looks great.
Yeah. Well, maybe lying does that, all the anxiety, worrying about being found out. Maybe that keeps you slim and trim, but also neurotic.
And we're not neurotic, are we, Jim?
No, we just enjoy food.
We're just normal.
We're just normal people.
And this is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com. Great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
When I started Revere Trails out in Windsor, I asked for Tim's advice. I'm absolutely amazed at how much he knows about the development of real estate and the marketing part than other realtors.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
He's got a phenomenal knowledge of the product and what it takes to get the product to market.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
The conspiracy guy Jim Fetzer is here. Donald Trump was speaking today at the Coast Guard Academy commencement, and he did rail on the press a bit in his speech, and we'll play that now.
Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Things will work out just fine. Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I guess that's why I won. Thank you. I guess that's why we won. Adversity makes you stronger. Don't give in, don't back down, and never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
There is the president, defiant as always, and more than ever. And Jim Fetzer, will he avoid being Nixon? Is he going to be smarter than Nixon was? I mean, how is this not going to be, in the end, another Nixon?
Oh, the analogy is completely faulty, Mitch, which is true. When there are more differences and similarities, few but crucial differences, or it's taken to be conclusive. Nixon was withholding evidence that was being subpoenaed by Archibald Cox, a special prosecutor. Trump isn't withholding any evidence, and he wasn't under any subpoena. The only one who could fire him was the attorney general, and that was, of course, Elliot Richardson. He asked him to fire him. He declined and resigned. Then he turned to the deputy attorney general, now acting,
William Ruckelshaus. Yes.
He declined and resigned. Then he turned to the solicitor general, nominally the number three, but now the acting, Robert Bork, and he fired him.
Yeah, right.
But there's really no comparison at all. The comparison that isn't being addressed is that Bill Clinton removed an FBI director the day before Vince Foster was found dead.
Oh, now we're getting really
William
dark.
Sessions.
I like the
William
darkness on that.
Sessions.
William Sessions. Well, there you go. But he has some ethics issues too, right, Bill?
Yeah, yeah. No, Sessions.
Sessions, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Bill Clinton.
Let me ask
riddled.
You this, though. They could subpoena the Russian conversation in the Oval Office with Nevrov and the fat guy, couldn't they?
Vladimir Putin has volunteered to release the transcripts of their meeting.
Well, how would Vladimir...
Because the Russian ambassador and all that, they kept records of their meeting, too.
They were doing their yuck,
dirty jokes. But I'm sure they were recording it.
Recording it.
I mean, you know.
And Vladimir, of course...
You can't do any of this
well,
stuff
our,
without keeping
our
records.
Congress, our members of Congress are really going to trust Vladimir as a source on that.
Well, it's embarrassing because he's far more trustworthy. Like RT and Sputnik News are more accurate and responsible than the New York Times or the Washington Post. It's embarrassing, Jeff. we're going back to Operation Mockingbird, you know.
Did you bring some vodka with you?
Frank Wisner.
I wonder if you brought a bottle of vodka with you.
Recruited the National Press. I'm a gin guy. I like Tanqueray. Canada Dry Tonic.
Tanqueray.
Better.
Vladimir is more trustworthy than members of Congress.
Without any doubt.
Is that your quote?
Without any doubt. Yeah, you can quote me, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'll defend it wholeheartedly. He's a trustworthy guy. America, alas, has turned into...
Trump is taping in the Oval Office, so they could get the transcript one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
With Mueller, it's all going to come out in the wash. He's going to do a thorough job. I'm actually very happy with the appointment.
Yeah.
Because he'll establish it. The whole Russian hacking meme was made up by John Podesta and Robbie Moak. That Seth Rich was the source of the DNC emails, that Russia was not involved, that there was no interference by Russia.
If they say that Robbie Moak was the leaker, then he was murdered. And Seth Rich. Then how are they going to find the hitter? The killer.
Oh, find the hitter. That's a whole other matter. You know, here's the deal. The D.C. police, who offered this ridiculous cover story that was a robbery, is headed by a guy deeply involved in Pizzagate, Mitch.
Oh, God. I don't want to talk about Pizzagate.
He refused to investigate ping pong pizza.
I don't want to talk about Pizzagate.
Yeah, but it's an essential element to explain why the D.C. police covered it up.
I'm telling you.
As you were observing before, he had his wallet, his credit card, his money, his watch.
No, let's stick with Seth Rich.
It was no robbery.
I can only do... Jim.
It was a murder.
I only stick with what I can stick with.
It was retaliation.
Seth Rich, like all these others.
UN official John Ash, who's going to testify, winds up dead. Julian Assange's attorney, this internationally renowned John Jones. Then you got this Sean Lucas, who serves the DNC with a class action lawsuit.
No.
They're all dead, Mitch. They're all dead.
Dead.
Now,
dead.
The improbability of these guys being in these relations
dead.
To the DNC and Julian Assange being dead by chance is approximately zero.
Oh, I agree. You and I both know that it was a hit on Seth Rich. It's kind of dead, though. It was John Lennon's death and Howard Cosell. John Lennon dead at the Dakota, dead. And now here's Gifford with the play. You know,
Howard was one of a kind. I loved
Monday
him.
Night
he was
Football.
Wonderful.
That's
and
the
he and Muhammad Ali were a magnificent team. I love that.
Yes, they were. But that's the way
Ali
he did.
Ali remains one of my all-time heroes, along with Bill Russell and Jack and Bobby. And by the way, Jack himself observed life is not fair, and we could not have seen a better demonstration than in Dealey Plaza.
Well, JFK's birthday is coming
up, November
right?
19th. Yes, on the 29th, Memorial Day, there's going to be an event broadcast out of L.A. It's going to be live stream, a lot of heavy hitters, Roger Stone, Barr McClellan. You got William Manson Law.
Barr McClellan
worked for Joe Clark. Who was deeply involved in all these scams. Larry Rivera, who's done some of the most brilliant work. I'm going to be addressing how and why the Zapruder film was revised.
Oh, yeah.
And talking about multiple different kinds of evidence.
Oh, great stuff, man. It's like a conspiracy orgy going on there.
You just go to jfkbirthday.com and you can check it out.
Is that Dallas?
It's going to begin at 6 a.m. Pacific time.
Where's it going to be?
I mean, 9 a.m. Pacific time. It's going to be all
day.
Yeah, it's going to.
Oh my God,
it's going to go from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
A JFK conspiracy day, Jim.
It is. It's going to be wonderful.
I mean, see, a lot of people get into the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament.
They're going to love it. Wayne Manson's also.
I'm
going to
go nuts. It's going to be a JFK conspiracy day. I mean, it'll be hard to be on the diet during
this 100th anniversary of his birthday. Nice coincidence.
Well, he never would have made it He had Addison's disease,
and yeah, he wasn't in great shape.
That's why he was so horny.
He was in massive pain. Well, he was giving shots that actually increased his libido.
They were shooting him with adrenaline in the spine.
Yeah, I know, bad.
I mean,
Admiral Berkeley.
That's like Viagra times 100, right?
Yeah. Jack was quite a womanizer, but he wasn't much of a lover. Andrew Dickinson said that her romance with Jack Kennedy was the greatest 15 seconds of her life.
I know. He got panned on that, but he didn't care, I guess. You know,
he just lived the life.
Selfish lover is
lived
what he
the
was.
Life. Yeah. He had a wonderful wife, Jackie, whom I adored.
Yeah, my daughter saw the movie twice and then read two books right away. Now she's a big fan of Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, great. Was that where Katie Holmes played Jackie?
No, it was Natalie Portman.
No, Natalie Portman.
Just a good, great
both
performance.
Good,
right? It was great.
Yeah, she's a very good actress. I like Natalie Portman.
I cried. I cry at these movies. Man, I'm like I blubber like crazy. My daughter makes me move. She's embarrassed to sit next to me.
Well, you're a real person.
It's terrible.
My wife says I'm a marshmallow, too. You know, I'll get affected by a television show, for God's sake.
It's a marshmallow world. Well, we got to take a break, or what's the deal? No, we're fine to the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're coming up.
So we have to wait and see what happens, but, you know.
I just did a video program about an hour yesterday on identities, about trying to fake who was in the doorway in the book depository.
It
wasn't Lee Oswald. Another about, Noah Posner being fabricated out of photographs of his older stepbrother.
Wasn't
Michael
there a picture
Fabner
of Jack Ruby by the building, too? They were kind of cropped out. I mean, Mark Lane always said that, right? Outside the
building. It was a guy in a fedora, looks an awful lot like Jack. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Is Mark Lane still alive? Mark Lane.
I think he recently died.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken.
He was always...
But I also did on Hillary and her use of doubles, you know, which went right up through the campaign.
Was that Labor Day?
They used a double with Bernie Sanders debate, a double with Donald Trump on the national stage. They were using doubles. I've actually come to the conclusion, Mitch, that she died on the evening of 9/11 when there were three reports.
Hillary?
That rescinded, yeah.
Jim.
We haven't seen her. Even in New York on Broadway, these were all doubles.
I think you had too much gin.
I'll go home and have one.
Jim has had some gin.
I'll go home and have one. Tanqueray and Canada Dry Tonic.
Seth Rich, I can do trumpet. I can't do the other stuff. We thank you very much, though, Jim Fitzer. See you tomorrow.